everybody. Hola, hola a todos. How are you doing today? I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful day. Welcome here to Spanish with Carla episode. Guess what? Cha-cha-cha-chan. 15. Can you believe it? OMG. Well, today I want to remind you that we have our website, SpanishWithCarla.com, and Carla is spelled with the K, where you can find our episodes, notes, you know, every single one of them. You can have there a choice to pick up what platform you want to use to listen to our podcast. You can use, you know, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, anything that works better for you, works best for you, you can pick up in there. I want to say that most of the time when I post on our Facebook group, Spanish with Carla, and also our page, I know I keep forgetting and I keep posting the Apple link. And I know a bunch of you send me a message and say, I cannot play it. I'm sorry about that. I need to get better at posting the general one, you know, just the main one, the one that you guys can pick up any platform you want. And I know that for people on different countries that have written to us, like Thailand or Colombia or Mexico, it works better to listen to it on YouTube. So try that, and then you can track it, you can follow, and then YouTube will notify you every time that we upload an episode as well, okay? So after all this laundry, I want to tell you that our Valentine's episode had some some stuff flying around. I had some people messaging me and asking me, why didn't I mention some words? I really honestly left them out because some of those can be a little, I don't know, some people might feel offended about it. Not me, you know, I'm open-minded, but I left them out. But since you ask, I will tell you how to say these words in Spanish, okay? So what happens when you're talking to your friends about you having an affair, okay? Good, bad, and different. I'm not judging here, guys. Promise. Okay. So when you're talking about affair in Spanish, you call it aventura. There is other ways to say it that are a little more like, I want YouTube to keep us in the loop, so I'm not going to say those. Remember, they are very kind of, if you say something, then you're not keyed appropriate, and then you get all kinds of restrictions. So I'm going to use the most polite way to say affair. Okay, so aventura is spelled A as in apple, V as in Victor, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, T as in tomato, U as in umbrella, R as in Robert, A as in apple. Aventura. Now, let me tell you, aventura is also something that you do. Let's say you have never gone skating or ice skating, and then you say, you know what, I'm gonna have an adventure, I'm just gonna go ice skating today, I've never done it before. So you can also say aventura is also kind of like adventure, okay? But in Spanish, if you say tuve una aventura con, like, with so and so, people understand you had an affair with this person. Okay, and that refers to somebody that is married or living with somebody or has a couple and is seeing somebody on the side. That's what it refers to, okay? It's not the same as, I will be honest with you, some people also requested the translation for hookup. None of those I can pronounce in Spanish without getting kicked out of YouTube. Yeah, but all I can tell you is that aventura would work. Also, when you say talk about a hookup, also you can use as like what we say in English, quickie. Also, there are some people also call it like that, rapidito, which means, you know, quickie, right? It's because you just meet somebody rapidito, and then bye, and I don't know who you are anymore. You see what I mean? That's what that means. So I'm going to spell rapidito for you, and that's R as in Robert, A as in apple, P as in potato, I as in igloo, D as in dog, I as in igloo, T as in tomato, O as in Oscar. Rapidito. That's kind of, you can also use it for quickie. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. So also some people ask me how you say lover when you have a lover. Okay. So that's, are you ready? That's, that word is amante. That word is not always used in a bad, I guess in the past, you know, when I was growing up in Mexico, if you said somebody has a lover, it was like, but now it's very, you know, common to say, you know, this person is, say, my husband, my lover, my friend, and my, you see what I mean? It's like what it involves. So I guess all these words can be as good and as bad as you want. You know what I mean? I'm just giving you the tools and you will be the master and know how to use them, right? So amante, that's the way you call a lover. And amante comes by from the love word, you know, A-M comes from love, you know, amor. So it is A as in apple, M as in Mary, A as in apple, N as in Nancy, T as in tomato, E as in elephant. Elephant. Amante. That means lover. Okay. Now, the last one that I want to tell you that people ask is, guess what? Friends with benefits. Hey, you know, guys, we live in that word, you know, it's a different word, you know, and I'm all for it. Totally. I have kids. I have a teenager and a young adult. So believe me. Yeah. That my young adult kiddo was the one also telling me about these words that I didn't say, so yes. Okay, so friends with benefits is super easy because you already know how to say amigos, right? I'll spell it for you in Spanish just to be nice because you already should know how to spell it, okay? A-M-I-G-O-S. Amigos, remember? Con, which means with. Okay, con, C as in cat, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy. Con, which means with, derechos. Okay, derechos, okay, I don't want to confuse you, okay? Think about this word, just derechos, the whole thing, because we are going to learn in this next podcast a bunch of different meanings of the word derecho. Derecha, derechos. In this case, derechos, and let me spell it for you. D as in dog, E as in elephant, R as in Robert, E as in elephant, C as in cat, H as in hotel, which actually means che. Remember? CH means che. It's a one letter when they get combined. O as in Oscar, S as in Sam. Derechos means rights. Like if you're talking about civil rights. So basically in Spanish, you're not saying friends with benefits. You're saying amigos con derechos, meaning we are friends, but we have rights over each other. You see what I mean? That's the way they say it. I mean, I guess you could say amigos con beneficios, but that's really not the way people use it. It would be understood, but it's not what people use for the most part. I never heard anybody saying amigos con beneficios. I never heard it. So which that would be benefits, right? So just remember that amigos con derechos. Derechos. All right. So those are the words that I wanted to bring up after episode 14 or Valentine's episode. And I hope that was, you know, that's exactly what you were looking for. And I hope that I brought the concept that you guys were looking for when you send those messages. If not, shoot me a message on Facebook. Just post it or send me an instant message on Messenger. Good Lord, I can't speak today. And I will, you know, add or correct or whatever. All right. So now I'm going to teach you something today. Let's go into today's episode. And what I'm going to teach is basically what's called demonstrative adjectives. I know it's that nasty grammar, right? But we had a really fun episode last week, so we need to go a little bit into grammar. This is very necessary, and we are not going to, I'm not going to just make it all grammar. I'm going to use stuff that we already know to create examples. Okay, so what the demonstrative adjectives means is when I say that, these, those, this, you remember that? So in Spanish, okay, so in English it's only four, right? And we have plural and singular, and that's it. And we have close and far away, right? That's all we have. So if we want to say, for example, this house is blue. That means that T-H-I-S, and I'm going to spell it because, you know, I speak Spanglish. So I really, it's hard for me to make a difference in the sound between T-H-I-S and T-H-E-S-E. You see what I mean? So we're talking about the plural, and when we're saying this house, we're talking about a house that is right here close by me, right? And then we have that house is green, and we're talking about a house that is far away. I mean, you know that. You speak English. Okay. I'm going to teach you how, which words we're going to use in Spanish for that. Now, I'm not saying this to scare you, I promise. In English, it's four words, and Spanish is actually 12. So get ready. Notes, taking, but it's really not that scary because the reason is because in Spanish, you have to worry not only about singular and plural, okay? In Spanish, you need to worry about, guess what? Gender, right? So let's start with the first one. I promise it's not going to be that hard. I'm going to give you the tools and then we're going to practice. All right. So let's start with something that is close by, which is this. T-H-I-S. Okay. That one in Spanish, you say este. If this is a thing that has masculine gender and is singular. Let's find an example, okay? Este carro es rojo. And you know all those words, right? I said, this car is red. This car is parked here nearby me. I'm probably sitting right next to the car, right? Este carro es rojo. I don't feel I need to spell anything but este because everything else, all the other words are already well known, right? So este, E as an elephant, S as in Sam, T as in tomato, E as an elephant. Este. Este, that means this, T-H-I-S. Okay? This car is red. Este carro es rojo. Now, also meaning this, T-H-I-S, okay? Esta, okay? Esta is an object that is, it has a feminine gender and it is singular as well, all right? It's just an example also with words that you already know. Esta casa es roja. Okay? What happened? Remember, car is a masculine gender. Casa is la casa, right? So it's a feminine gender. And it's singular because we're talking about only one house, all right? Esta casa es roja. Esta casa is nearby me. This house is just right here. I'm standing probably very close by, okay? And now, like we said in English, okay, so that's the singular and it's close, right? Like I'm talking distance wise, you are right here next to it. Now, when we're talking about plural, and which is the T-H-E-S-E, this, the way we're going to say it is, and I'm going to use the same example so I don't confuse you, okay? I want you to pick it up and then we can find new, more examples, okay? So that's going to be estos, estos, estos carros son rojos, okay? And that means cars are a masculine gender. El carro, los carros, right? And this is plural. We're talking two or more cars. Estos carros son rojos. Okay? And that's these cars are red. Okay? I'm saying the translation so that way you can go back and listen because I know this lesson is not going to be as easy to digest as most of the other ones, but this is important, okay? And, okay, so the difference that we have between these words in English and Spanish is that in English, there's only either near or close by and far away. Basically, you say, this car is red or that car is red, right? Now, in Spanish, we're going to have another level of distance, I guess you can say. So this is where it gets a little confusing. So far, we have learned four of the 12 words. Okay, so este, esta, estos, estas. It's not that complicated, right? Now, we're going to talk about something that is that, T-H-A-T, which is ese, and esa. And I'm going to spell that for you, but I want to explain. When you're saying that and those, you are talking about something that is not like right here next to you, but is not also like super far away, considering in Spanish, okay? In English, it doesn't matter if it's a block away or two blocks away or 10 steps away, as long as you can see it and point it and it's not like next to you, right? In Spanish, this stage of the distance, which is not close by right here next to me, but it's sort of nearby, okay? That's when we use the ese, esa. And then for something that is really far away, say, for example, you're in a mountain and you're looking at that white house on, you know, across the other mountain, you know, across the pond or the lake or whatever. And you, in English, you say that house. Can you see that house right there? In Spanish, that one has another word to use. So this is what is going to be the difference. Okay. So let's consider that when what we just did, you know, the este, esta, estos, estas, let's call it really nearby, like that. This is your near distance. You can touch it. Okay? Think about it like that. Now, the one I'm going to teach you right now is something that is sort of far away, but not super far away. Call it, you can walk to it and touch it, right? And then the third one that I'm going to show you is something that is really far away. I'm going to say you cannot touch it. You can see it. You know it's there, but you cannot touch it. I hope I'm making sense. And if not, call me on it. Just tell me, hey, no, I didn't understand. So explain it better and I will do my best. Okay. So let's talk about the mean distance. So that is that and those. Ese, esa. Let's use the same example, even though it's going to be boring, but just for you to understand the difference. Ese carro es rojo. Ese. E as an elephant, S as in Sam, E as an elephant. Can you tell what's the difference between the really nearby word and this one? The difference is when you are saying this car is red, you have, I'm sorry, in Spanish, you say este carro es rojo. It has a T, okay? A T as in tomato. Now, this other one in which you're saying that car is red, ese carro es rojo, it's only ESE. Okay? I'm just pointing that out so you can see the difference and kind of relate, you know, the word. Okay, ese carro es rojo. Now let's do the feminine gender version, singular version, and it's going to be esa. E as in elephant, S as in Sam, A as in apple. Esa casa es roja. And that house or that car is about a block away, right? Or 10 steps away, but you're not touching it. Okay, you see what I mean? You're not touching it. Esa casa, you're pointing at it, it's not too far away, but you can walk to it, so it's not super mega far. That's the concept of ese y esa. Okay, now let's talk about the far, far away. In English, you would say the same word, right? That and those. You know, that house, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait, I haven't told you how you say those in the middle and the mid-distance form. Oh my gosh, Carlita, wake up. All right. So that's going to be esos. You see, even though there's a lot of words, they're not so far away from each other. Okay? Because esos is E as an elephant, S as in Sam, O as an Oscar, S as in Sam. Esos, that means masculine gender. Plural, okay? Esos carros son rojos, okay? And to do the feminine gender and plural also, we're going to say esas. Almost the same, you see that? E as an elephant, S as in Sam. A as an apple, S as in Sam. Esas. Esas. Casas son rojas. Okay? So, I'm thinking that if I say, listen to this, ese carro, esa casa, esos carros, esas casas. You see how similar that is? It's kind of very alike. Okay? And same with the close by way, which is this and this, is going to be este, esta, estos, estas. The words are super similar. I don't think you're going to have an issue. You're just going to have to practice and use them and study the forms and go back and listen again until you get it. It is going to take time. I think I'm not afraid to say that many times I probably still confuse my this and those and that and that. It took me a while to understand the way it works. So I just want you to have it and start playing with the words until you get it, right? Little by little, one day at a time, you're going to learn them and be able to use them. Now, let's talk about the far form. Let's talk about that house that is over there after you're looking from a hill and the house, you see the pond, the lake, and then another house across in another hill. You know what I mean? Something really far away. It could also be something that if you're comparing something in distance, okay? So something really close by you is right here next to you, then something 10 steps away might be the mid distance, which is that and those, you know, that house, blah, blah, blah. And then something farther away, even if it's not mountains away, you can still use this form, okay? So the masculine version, and it's singular also, is going to be aquel. This is not similar to anything. So take notes. A as in apple, Q as in Quebec, U as in umbrella, E as in elephant, L as in apple, L as in lorry. I'm telling you guys. Aquel. Aquel is, like I said, masculine and singular. So, aquel carro es rojo. When you use aquel, like I said, that means the car is far away. You cannot touch it. More likely, you cannot walk to it. I mean, it's far, far away. But some people use it if they have a car parked in their in their side of the street, and then they want to talk about the one that is on the other side of the street. You see, I mean, you can change it according if you're comparing, if you are comparing objects, you can use it for something that is closer, you know, than something that you cannot touch. So, aquel carro es rojo. Now, when we're going to do the feminine version, or, you know, and also singular, it's going to be aquella. Aquella. A as an apple, Q as in Quebec, U as an umbrella, E as an elephant, L as in lorry, A as an apple. Aquella. Do you remember that when we have double L, it sounds J? Aquella. Aquella casa es roja. That's a house that is farther away than, you know, than where you can walk to, or is, you know, far away. Now, this is the singular. Now, if we're going to talk about those, you know, which is the plural, and this is far, far away, we're going to say it's almost the same, so don't panic. It's going to be A as an apple, Q as in Quebec, U as an umbrella, E as an elephant, L as in lorry. You see, all as, up to there is the same word as aquel, right? Then L as in lorry again, O as in Oscar, S as in Sam. Aquellos. It's pretty much the same concept that we have talked about when we transfer a word from singular to plural, okay? Masculine singular to masculine plural. So aquellos, aquellos, aquellos carros son rojos. And those are faraway cars, okay? Now, let's do the feminine plural. We're almost done. This is the last one. And it's going to be aquellas. You see, it's almost the same word, but instead of having an O, it has an A because this is the feminine one. So it's going to be A as an apple, Q as in Quebec, U as an umbrella, E as an elephant, L as in lorry, L as in lorry, A as in apple, S as in Sam. Aquellas casas son rojas. Now, I do want to remind you, because I don't know if you remember, when we talked about, I always say that the way the word is spelled in Spanish is the way it sounds. This is one of the few examples in which it does not. But we talked about this before. And we said that when you have the Q and you have a U as an umbrella and then an E as an elephant or an I as an eagle, the U is silent and makes the sound, you know, just K, right? Kind of like the K sound, basically. So that's the reason why when you have this Q, U, E, it says aquel, aquella. You see, you realize how we don't pronounce the U? If we had a, say, if we had Q-U-A or Q-U-O, because, I mean, I haven't seen a word that has U-U, but you would actually have to pronounce the U. You would say, for example, aqua, right? If you had U and A. So the only times in which the U is going to be silent in this case is if you have an E or an I. All right? That's kind of a reminder note that I wanted to do just to kind of, you know, so you remember, because I know it's been a while since when we talked about this. Okay, so that was the hardest part of the lesson, okay? I know that that's quite a bit to remember, but now I'm going to teach you some fun stuff. So let's talk about physical attributes, and also let's talk about, I guess you can say emotional attributes. You know how people are. How about you have people that are grouchy or good people or mean people? Or liars, or so I'm gonna teach you how to say all that so you can start being all judgy. No, just kidding. Just so you know how to say it. Let's start and let's how about if we practice our our stuff that we just learned with it, you know, our demonstrative adjectives with these words, okay? So let's first get into, let's talk about physical attributes. Let's talk about somebody that is tall, right? So tall in Spanish, you say alto. A as an elephant. Ah, shoot. A as an apple. L as an lorry. T as in tomato. O as an Oscar. Alto. Now, what happens if we're talking about a girl? A girl would be alta. It's the same word, but instead of an O, you have an A as an apple. Okay? So alto, alta. So let's talk about a girl that, so, or a guy. So you're sitting in a restaurant and then you're looking at that guy that is like two tables, you know, away, and he gets up and then you say, you look at him, right? Or her, whatever, right? And then since you don't have him right here, it's kind of sort of far away, but not too much. You say, ese hombre es alto. Esa mujer es alta. Right? Now, what happens? I mean, of course, the only way that you're going to say if the person is like right next to you is if you know them or something, right? But you could also say, esta mujer es alta, to somebody that is standing right here next to you. Este hombre es alto, right? How about if you're looking at somebody that is really, really far away on the other side of the restaurant, you can say, aquel hombre es alto. Aquella mujer es alta. How about that? Okay. You can also say, mi esposa es alta. My wife is tall. Right? You can also use it to say that. Okay? So, how about when somebody's short? Okay? I have heard people saying, when they try to say in Spanish that somebody's short, they say corto. Okay, please don't do that. Okay? Corto is not what it means. You can hear two ways to say it. Okay? When you say corto, that's when a skirt is really short, but nowhere in a person is short. Okay? So please don't do that. And you can say bajo, which means kind of low. It's not very tall. So bajo or baja. Most of people use bajita, kind of saying it in a nice way, right? And that would be B as in boy, A as in apple, J or J, and then O as in Oscar, or A as in apple, depending on the gender of the person. So let's use our words also to say the same thing. I mean, hold on. Also, you can use that word, bajo, which is in most of Latin American countries, Spain and everywhere. But in Mexico, actually, the word that you're going to use is chaparro. Chaparro. I don't know if it's going to be the same in all the other countries. If you are listening from, I know we have people that speak Spanish that listen to the podcast on the Facebook group also, and they say that it works for them to learn English too. And I can see that. Because anything that I say, or most of the stuff that I say, I translate. So they can pick words here and there. So if you are listening from, you know, Colombia, Argentina, all the other countries, let me know. Because in Mexico, the word that, you know, people use most of the time is going to be chaparro. Is C as in cat, H as in hotel, which is the letter che, remember? A as in apple, P as in Paul, A as in apple, R as in Robert, O as in Oscar, or A as in apple if you're talking about a lady. Chaparro or chaparra. Now, honestly, there is considered a compliment to people, or when you want to call somebody I guess if you want to call somebody like little one or something, which is more for kids in here. But I have heard people, I've been called chorty before. Okay. Not that I love it, but okay. Yeah. Yesterday, my kid, I was trying to turn the fan on and he says, Mom, are you sure you can reach it? And I was like, you know what, kid? Yeah. Because both of my kids are much taller than I am. So in Spanish, you would call me chaparra, you know, because I mean, in Mexico, because I'm short, or baja, or bajita, or chaparrita, which is a good, I guess you're saying the same thing, but there, I know a lot of people that are called chaparrita because that's their nickname or they don't mind or whatever. So people use that word a lot as a way to call people, right? So ese hombre o ese niño es bajo o chaparro. Esta niña es baja o chaparra. Aquella mujer es chaparra. Aquellos hombres son bajos. And that means, you know, short. All right. So let's talk about another one. And most of people are not going to like this one because it talks about being thin or being fat, but you still need to learn, right? It's very common that when a woman, if you hear people being called chaparrita, now you know that's, it could be a nickname, and some people call their wives or girlfriends or whatever, they call them, hey, chaparrita, and it's supposed to be good. It's not bad. Also, you can hear people that are called flaca or flaco. I have not heard people that in English that call their wives or boyfriends skinny as like a nickname, but in Spanish it's very common that you hear flaca or flaco, and that's what skinny means. Okay, it's going to be F as in Frank, L as in Lori, A as in Apple, C as in Cat, O as in Oscar, or A as in Apple if we are talking about a lady. Flaco or flaca. That could work, like I said, as a nickname. You know, in you know, Spanish-speaking countries, some people, they just do that. And I have had a lot of friends that, you know, that are called by their husbands or my friends call their husband flaco or flaca, and that's just normal. So if you hear that, don't think it's their name. It's just because they're skinny people and they're called like that by friends, family, wives, husbands, whatever. Okay? So esa muchacha, you remember that word, muchacha? Kind of like, it can be like muchacha or señorita. It's like a teenager person. Es flaca. Aquella mujer es flaca. Este hombre es flaco. Ese niño es flaco. Okay? Let's go with the next one. It's called fat means, and it's called gordo. Gordo. Okay? I don't know if you have been in one of those Mexican restaurants in which they sell these kind of corn, you know, masa thingies. They're called gorditas. Okay. So what gorditas means is like little fat in a feminine gender presentation, I guess you can say. Okay. So they're supposed to be nice and filled with stuff, really filling. But believe me, I have seen them in some restaurants. They're no gorditas. They're very flaquitas because they don't have enough food inside to be considered gorditas. Okay. So if you are, or if this is a person you're talking about that is fat or fluffy, like I like to say, and it's a guy, you say gordo. And if it's a girl, it's going to be gorda. Okay. So it's G as in golf, O as in Oscar, R as in Robert, D as in dog, O as in Oscar, or A as in apple, if we're talking about a woman. gordo, gorda. Ese niño es gordo. Esa mujer es gorda. Aquella niña es gorda. Now, is this the most correct way to say it? You know, I don't know. That's going to depend on you. If, as far as I'm concerned, I have no reason to say that somebody's fat or skinny or what. I'm really not that kind of person. Sometimes it can be necessary on your conversations, though. Say, for example, if they're asking you to describe somebody because they stole something or I don't know, whatever. So then these words can be really useful. What I'm trying to say, I'm not teaching you really how to say all this so you are judges. So I'm just teaching you so you can use it if you need it. Like, oh, how was the person? Oh, he was, you know, like alto, flaco, gordo, you know, whatever. You see what I mean? So that's the purpose of this, okay? Now, let's talk about somebody that is pretty, and we're not going to go too much into that because you already know these words. I just wanted to remind you. Esa niña es bonita. You remember that we talked about pretty, meaning bonita, and we said when we're talking about a man, we don't say bonito, remember? I have heard places in Colombia, like Colombia and I think Venezuela too, in which they do say about a guy that is bonito, but most of the places, it goes more by guapo. And you have already have those words spelled for, but I'm still going to spell them for you. B as in boy, O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, I as in igloo, T as in tomato, A as in apple. Esa señorita es bonita. Aquella señora es bonita. Este hombre es guapo. Aquel señor es guapo. Remember, guapo means handsome. And it's spelled G as in golf, U as in umbrella, A as in apple, P as in Paul, O as in Oscar. Now, how about the opposite? Ugly. How about that? I mean, nobody wants to be called that, but we need to know it, right? So, that's super easy. Feo. And it is F as in Frank, E as in elephant, O as in Oscar. And if it's, you're talking about a lady, it's going to be A as in apple. Now, this doesn't necessarily have to be a person, okay? You can be talking also, how about a house, you know? Or a car. I can say, ese carro es feo. Esa casa es fea. Right? You can also talk about, you know, whatever, movies. How about a dinner? How was dinner? Oh, fea. Right? Because you didn't like it. It was ugly. I mean, you don't even want to say, well, look, spaghetti was good, but the salad was this. You just want to say plain dead. It was fea. You know, I didn't enjoy anything out of it, right? So what I'm trying to say, this specific word is going to work not only to describe people, but also to describe things. Also with the word bonita, that can also work to describe things. Okay? Like you buy a new skirt. That skirt, you can say, esa falda es bonita, right? When you describe flowers, esa flor es bonita. You know, those are words that you can use for also things, okay? No handsome. Guapo, no really. That's only for people. But feo, you can use for anything. Now, if you are somebody that lives in the United States, and you, when you go to those countries, you know that you are called this way all the time. When you go to a cruise and all that, don't you hear everybody calling you güero or güera? Okay, so that words in it, what it really means is somebody that has blonde hair. But in when you go on vacations to Spanish-speaking countries, it doesn't necessarily mean that. You are just kind of a white person. They call you güera, okay? And that's going to be G as in golf, U as an umbrella with cha-cha-cha-cha. This is the first time that we find a word that has this. It's called diéresis. And you know what diéresis is? It's two little dots on top of the U, okay? Remember that we said with Q and with G, when you have a U and then you have E or I, the U doesn't sound, right? The only way that the U is going to sound is if you put these little two dots on top that are called diéresis. I don't expect you to remember these. You can always come back and listen to episode 15 and, you know, find it. But as long as if you see those two little dots on top of the U, you know that the U is going to sound güera. Okay? So G as in golf, U as an umbrella with the diéresis, E as an elephant, R as in rover, A as an apple. Güera, if it's a lady, güero, if it's a guy. Okay? Like I said, and for the most part, it's talking about somebody that has blonde hair, but it can also be used for somebody that is, you know, really white. And this has nothing to do with, you know, a race or anything like that. It just has to do with, you know, somebody, you know, color, skin, whatever. Now, let's talk about the opposite side. How is called somebody that, you know, like a brunette? It's called morena. Morena. M as in Mary. O as in Oscar, R as in Robert, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, A as in apple. Morena. Or if you're talking about a guy, it's going to be moreno. Okay? Aquella mujer es morena. Aquel hombre es moreno. Este hombre es güero. Esta mujer es güera. You see? That way we have used both of them. And you got examples for the both of them. Okay? Now, there's a lot of physical attributes that we can talk about, and we are going to keep adding them on the episodes. But I want to touch a little bit on the other words that describe more the emotional person. These are super easy. So, what happens? You already know how bueno or good is, and you can also use to describe a person, right? Bueno, good, bueno. How is this person? You can say, ese hombre es bueno. That man is good. Esta mujer es buena. This woman, you know, is good. It's a good woman, right? So, that one, you already know how to spell it. We have spelled it like, what, only 500 times, I think, already. We'll probably know that many. But that one means good. When you're talking about, so don't say esa mujer or ese hombre es bien. No. Remember, when you're talking about describing the person, you're going to say bueno or buena. In many countries, they also use this word to describe food. How's your lasagna? They say está buena. That means it's really good. Okay? So you can also hear that. How was your caldo? You know what caldo is? Caldo is like a soup with lots of veggies, and it can be either, you know, seafood, or it can be beef, or it can be chicken, depending on what, you know, you're eating. But they can ask you, or simply, how is your coffee? They can ask you. And you can say, está bueno. That means it's good. You can also use that word to describe food. It's common also to do that, okay? So don't forget. Now, how about when somebody's mean? I mean, not everything is roses and peaches, right? So how about when somebody's mean? I can tell you that I have friends that I call this word many times. More plain than anything, or that's what they think. No, just kidding. But mean, you say it malo. And that's spell M as in Mary, A as in Apple, L as in Lori, O as in Oscar, or A as in Apple if we are talking about a lady. Okay? So I want to say hi to all my friends that I get to call Mr. Mallow. And you know who you are. I'm not going to give any names. So that's what it means. So you can say, ese hombre es malo. Aquella mujer es mala. Okay? Este niño es malo. Okay? Aquella niña es mala. Okay? And that is when somebody is kind of mean. It's kind of, you know, they did something, you know, bad to you. And you just go like, oh, this person is really mean. Now, you can also use the word malo to describe sort of kind of ugly in some countries. So you might hear also the word malo to describe things. Like they might ask you, how was dinner? Ooh, muy malo. Instead of saying ugly, then you're saying it was like really bad. Right? So malo can mean mean, but it can also mean bad. Okay? So keep that in mind. Also, how was the movie? Muy mala. I don't recommend it. Right? So, like I said, malo. Mean, but also bad. Okay? So, now the next one that I want to show you is... Okay, this is because I'm not going to finish all of them. So I want to teach you this one that is very common and I want you to learn it. Buena onda. Okay. Buena onda is two words. Buena means, of course, from good. Buena. And even if you're talking about a guy, you're going to say buena onda means like good vibe, cool. This is a very common expression that when you ask somebody, oh, how is this person? Like, they're talking about a new student in the class or whatever. And you ask, well, how is that person? I don't know them. And they say, oh, buena onda. That means, okay, this is a cool person. It's fun, entertain, whatever, you know, easygoing. Buena onda means the whole spectrum. That means cool, basically. Okay? But for the most part, when you say buena onda, that you're describing somebody that you like. Not like on a romantic way, but like as a to hang out with, a friend or whatever. Okay? Or a teacher. It's a new teacher. Oh, how is the teacher? Oh, it's buena onda. El maestro, since we already know how to say that, el maestro es buena onda. The teacher is cool. Aquella señorita es buena onda. Did you understand that? That young lady is cool. So go with her instead of going with the one on the other corner that is grouchy. So you see what I mean? So when you hear buena onda, it's something good. It's, and I'm going to spell it for you. V as in boy, U as in umbrella, E as in elephant, N as in Nancy, A as in apple. Buena, space, onda. O as in Oscar, N as in Nancy, D as in dog, A as in apple. Buena onda. Do you remember when we did the greetings? I taught you that sometimes when you go to those Spanish-speaking countries, you hear, ¿qué onda? Kind of like, what's up? Right? You remember that one? So it's kind of on the same concept. What's up? What's going on? But I guess the best way I can describe onda, if you want me to translate it like 100% how it is, it means wave. Onda means wave. But the truth is that if I were to translate it by context on what it really means, I would say this is like vibe. You know, like good vibes. That's what I related more to. Because somebody who has a good vibe for the most part is somebody that is really cool. So this is what I used to describe or you know, translate this word. And that's going to be really, really important for your interactions, you know, with people. When you hear that word, you know that they're talking about something good. And I have a few more words, but I'm going to save them for our next episode because we are running out of time. Hey, let me remind you again that we have our website, Spanish with Carla, and we have also our Facebook group, Spanish with Carla, and Facebook page. And don't forget that Carla is spelled with the K. Let me first of all, thank you so much for being with us for these past 15 episodes. It means the world to myself and my team. We are very happy that we have you and you listening and going on this journey with us to learn Spanish and learn some about the culture and, you know, all these things that we are, you know, learning together. We hope you like the podcast, and we ask you to please subscribe or follow, however you want to say it. And if you like the podcast and you follow it, please share it with your friends and family or coworkers or anybody that would like to come and learn Spanish with Carla as well. Once again, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week. Hasta pronto. See you soon. Bye-bye. Adios.